Planings and the Godhead. The Attributes of God by A.W. Pink. The Power of God. We cannot have a right conception of God unless we think of Him as all-powerful as well as all-wise. He who cannot do what He will and perform all His pleasure cannot be God. As God has a will to resolve what He deems good, so He has power to execute His will. The power of God is that ability and strength in which He can bring to pass whatsoever He pleases, whatsoever His infinite wisdom may direct, and whatsoever the infinite purity of His will may resolve. As holiness is the beauty of all God's attributes, so power is that which gives life and action to all the perfections of the divine nature. How vain would be the external counsels if power did not step in to execute them. Without power, His mercy would be but feeble pity, His promises an empty sound, His threatenings a mere scarecrow. God's power is like Himself, infinite, eternal, incomprehensible. It can neither be checked, restrained, nor frustrated by the creature, end quote, Stephen Charnock. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God. Psalm 62, verse 11. God has spoken once. Nothing more is necessary. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but His word abides forever. God has spoken once. How befitting is divine majesty. We poor mortals may speak often and yet fail to be heard. He speaks but once, and the thunder of His power is heard on 1,000 hills. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave His voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, He sent out His arrows and scattered them, and He shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at Thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of Thy nostrils. Psalm 18, verses 13 to 15. God has spoken once. Behold His unchanging authority, for who in the heaven can be compared to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened to the Lord? Psalm 89, verse 6. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and He does according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say to Him, What are you doing? Daniel 4, verse 35. This is openly displayed when God became incarnate and tabernacled among men. To the leper He said, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. To one who had lain in the grave 4 days, He cried, Lazarus, come forth. And the dead came forth. The stormy wind and the angry waves hushed at a single word from Him. A legion of demons could not resist His authoritative command. Power belongs to God and to Him alone. Not a creature in the entire universe has an atom of power save what God delegates. But God's power is not acquired, nor does it depend upon any recognition by any other authority. It belongs to Him inherently. God's power is like Himself, self-existent, self-sustained. The mightiest of men cannot add so much as a shadow of increased power to the Omnipotent One. He sits on no buttressed throne and leans on no assisting arm. His court is not maintained by His courtiers, nor does it borrow its splendor from His creatures. He is Himself the great central source and originator of all power, end quote, C.H. Spurgeon. Not only does all creation bear witness to the great power of God, but also to His entire independency of all created things. Listen to His own challenge. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if you have understanding. Who has laid the measures thereof, if you know? Or who has stretched a line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone of it? Job 38, verses 4 to 6. How completely is the pride of man laid in the dust? Power is also used as the name of God, the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power, Mark 14, verse 62. That is, at the right hand of God. God and power are so inseparable that they are reciprocated, as his essence is immense, not to be confined in place. As it is eternal, it is not to be measured in time. So it is almighty, not to be limited in regard of action." End quote. Stephen Charnock. "Lo, these are parts of his ways, but how little a portion is heard of him. But the thunder of his power, who can understand?" Job 26, verse 14. "Who is able to count all the monuments of his power? Even that which is displayed of his might in the visible creation is utterly beyond our powers of comprehension. Still less are we able to conceive of omnipotence itself. There is infinitely more power lodged in the nature of God than is expressed in all of his works. Parts of his ways. We behold in creation providence, redemption, but only a little part of his might is seen in them. Remarkably, this is brought out in Habakkuk 3, verse 4. "And there was a hiding of his power." It is scarcely possible to imagine anything more grandiloquent than the imagery of this whole chapter, yet nothing in it surpasses the nobility of this statement. The prophet in a vision beheld the mighty God scattering the hills and overturning the mountains, which one would think afforded an amazing demonstration of his power. Nay, says our verse, that is rather the hiding than the displaying of his power. What does it mean? So inconceivable, so immense, so uncontrollable is the power of deity, that the fearful convulsions which he works in nature conceal more than they reveal of his infinite might. It is very beautiful to link together the following passages. "He walks upon the waves of the sea," Job 9, verse 8, which expresses God's uncontrollable power. "He walks in the circuit of heavens," Job 22, verse 14, which tells of the immensity of his presence. "He walks upon the wings of the wind," Psalm 104, verse 3, which signifies the amazing swiftness of his operations. This last expression is very remarkable. It is not that he flies or runs, but that he walks, and that on the very wings of the wind, and the most impetuous of the elements tossed into utmost rage, and sweeping along with almost inconceivable rapidity, yet they are under his feet, beneath his perfect control. Let us now consider God's power in creation. The heavens are thine. The earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south, thou hast created them. Psalm 89, 11 to 12. Before man can work, he must have both tools and materials. But God began with nothing, and by his word alone, out of nothing. He made all things. The intellect cannot grasp it. God spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Psalm 33, verse 9. Primeval man heard his voice. God said, "Let there be," and it was so. Genesis 1. Well may we exclaim, "Thou hast a mighty arm, strong as your hand, high as your right hand." Psalm 89:13. "Who that looks upward to the midnight sky and with an eye of reason beholds its rolling wonders? Who can forbear inquiring of what were their mighty orbs formed? Amazing to relate, they were produced without materials. They sprung from emptiness itself. The stately fabric of universal nature emerged out of nothing. What instruments were used by the supreme architect to fashion the parts with such exquisite niceness and give so beautiful a polish to the whole? How was it all connected into one finely proportioned and nobly finished structure? A bare fiat accomplished it all. Let them be," said God. He added no more. And at once the marvelous edifice arose, adorned with every beauty, displaying innumerable perfections and declaring amidst enraptured seraphs its great Creator's praise. "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth." Psalm 150, verse 1. End quote, James Hervey, 1789. Consider God's power in preservation. No creature has power to preserve itself. Can the rush grow up without mire? Can a flag grow up without water? Job 8, verse 11. Both man and beast would perish if there were not herbs for food, and herbs would wither and die if the earth were not refreshed with fruitful showers. Therefore is God called the preserver of man and beast. Psalm 36, verse 6. He upholds all things by the word of his power. Hebrews 1, verse 3. The preservation of the earth from the violence of the sea is another plain instance of God's might. How is that raging element kept confined within those limits where he first lodged it, continuing its channel without overflowing the earth and dashing in pieces the lower part of the creation? The natural situation of the water is to be above the earth because it is lighter, and to be immediately under the air because it is heavier. Who restrains the natural quality of it? Certainly man does not, and cannot. It is a fiat of its creator, which alone bridles it, and said, "Hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed." Job 38, verse 11. What a standing monument of the power of God the preservation of the world is. Consider God's power in government. Take his restraint of the malice of Satan. The devil is a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, 1 Peter 5, verse 8. He is filled with hatred against God and with fiendish enmity against men, particularly the saints. He who envied Adam in paradise envies us the pleasure of enjoying any of God's blessings. Could he of his will, he would treat us all the same way he treated Job. He would send fire from heaven on the fruits of the earth, destroy the cattle, cause the wind to overthrow our houses and cover our bodies with boils. But little as men may realize it, God bridles him to a large extent, prevents him from carrying out his evil designs, and confines him within his ordinations. 2. God restrains the natural corruption of men. He allows sufficient outbreaks of sin to show what fearful havoc has been wrought by man's apostasy from his Maker. But who can conceive the frightful lengths to which men would go were God to remove his curbing hand? Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Romans 3, verse 15 is the nature of every descendant of Adam. Then what unbridled licentiousness and headstrong folly would triumph in the world if the power of God did not interpose to lock down the floodgates of it. See Psalm 93, 3 and 4. Consider God's power in judgment. When he smites, none can resist him. How terribly this is exemplified at the flood. God opened the windows of heaven and broke open the great fountains of the deep. And except those in the ark, the entire human race, helpless before the storm of his wrath, was swept away. A shower of fire and brimstone from heaven, and the cities of the plain were exterminated. Pharaoh and all his hosts were impotent when God blew upon them at the Red Sea. What a terrific word is in Romans 9, verse 22. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? God is going to display his mighty power upon the reprobate, not merely by incarcerating them in Gehenna, but by supernaturally preserving their bodies as well as souls amid the eternal burnings of the lake of fire. Well, may we all tremble before such a God, to treat with disrespect one who can crush us more easily than we can a moth, is a suicidal policy. To openly defy him who is clothed with omnipotence, who can rend in pieces or cast into hell any moment he pleases, is the very height of insanity. To put it on its lowest ground, it is but the part of wisdom to heed his command. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Psalm 2, verse 12. Well may the enlightened soul adore such a God. The wondrous infinite perfections of such a being call for fervent worship. If men of might and renown claim the admiration of the world, how much more should the power of the Almighty fill us with wonderment and homage? Who is like to thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. Exodus 15, verse 11. Well may the saint trust such a God. He is worthy of implicit confidence. Nothing is too hard for him. If God were stinted in might and had a limit to his strength, we might well despair. But seeing that he is clothed with omnipotence, no prayer is too hard for him to answer, no need too great for him to supply, no passion too strong for him to subdue, no temptation too powerful for him to deliver from, no misery too deep for him to relieve. The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 27, verse 1. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end.